Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's story is the rebound in American paper mills, thanks to Amazon and China, and workers facing pressure to continuously upgrade their skills to stay relevant. Those stories after this. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. And there's so much more Geico could help with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Amazon and China, two forces that are often blamed for killing American employment in retail and manufacturing, are helping a rebound in American paper mills. The reason for the revival has to do with the millions of packages that Amazon and other online retailers ship around the world, specifically the humble cardboard used to make them. Over the past 5 years, e-commerce has fueled demand for billions more square feet of cardboard. Michael Corkery, reporter at the New York Times, says an industry that has struggled mightily during the digital age has a rare opportunity for growth. He paid a visit to a mill in Combined Locks, Wisconsin. Michael, what did you find?
You know, you really think of, you know, Amazon and as the poster child of a digital company, you know, as a bit of a job destroyer, not a job creator, at least in the U.S. You know, you think of all these stores that have closed because of e-commerce and the, you know, the sort of death of brick and mortar retailing as a result of the growth of e-commerce. And yet, here's an area where e-commerce, though it lives online, still needs this very physical, very old-fashioned thing called paper to make the boxes that the stuff gets delivered in. So it's a bit of a twist on the usual tale.
Wow. We're speaking with Michael Corkery, business reporter at the New York Times. He's written a piece entitled The Great American Cardboard Comeback. So part of this, too, is tied to China basically saying to the U.S., stop sending us your cardboard to be recycled. We're not doing it anymore. You figure it out. And that has helped here as well, to a certain extent?
Yeah, so that's another factor that's come into play. You know, for decades, the U.S., again, when you'd use you get your Amazon box, you'd break it down, you'd put it out to be recycled. A lot of those boxes, a lot of your plastic bottles, a lot of your aluminum cans, were being picked up, processed here in the U.S., put on barges, and sent over to China, where they were, you know, really being sorted and recycled and turned into new bottles, new boxes, new paper. But in January of 2018, China said, you know what, most of the stuff we're getting from the U.S. is filled with garbage. I mean, it's contaminated. We're having to bury a lot of it or burn a lot of it. We don't want it anymore. And when they decided that, that really disrupted the sort of market for scrap material. And the prices of all those materials collapsed, including the price of used cardboard, which, again, has been very difficult for recycling centers, but it's been great for mills, which is many of these brown paper mills that use scrap cardboard to sort of chew it up and make new pulp to create new brown paper. So it's really lowered the costs, which, again, for this mill and Combined Locks, as they were trying to get back on their feet, they had a great, you know, their raw material has never been cheaper.
Is this not the only mill that's benefited?
There's actually a bit of a revival going on around the U.S. Conversions like the one in this Wisconsin mill that had been making white paper that changed over to brown. Interestingly, there's a Chinese company that the biggest brown paper and box maker in Asia, this company called Nine Dragons, that really relied on a lot of the scrap coming out of the U.S. It no longer could get it in China. So what they've done is this Chinese company has come to the U.S. and bought paper mills just in the past year and reopened them in places like Maine, West Virginia, to do the same thing as what this mill was doing in Wisconsin. So again, a twist on the old tale where China is coming here and creating American jobs, not the usual where our American jobs are often shipped over to China and we lose that employment here in the States.
And given our passion for all things delivered by cardboard boxes these days, it seems like this is a sustainable business model for the foreseeable future.
It is. I mean, the box world, it's not exactly an exciting industry, but this is about as exciting as it's ever been in terms of growth and opportunity. Now, of course, you know, this mill in Wisconsin and the ones I mentioned by of the Chinese company, they're not the only ones that have figured this out. So, you know, a lot of mills are jumping on this opportunity, and so that's going to create some more capacity coming online. So eventually this boom will probably slow, but for now it's really at least for this mill it's been a really happy revival.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Corkery from the New York Times. More after this. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they're applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Lifelong learning has become a mantra in American corporations as employees face pressure to stay relevant in a rapidly evolving workplace. Employers, politicians, and educators are hammering the message that people need to continuously upgrade their skills because of advancing technologies. Even companies that invest in employee training expect workers to figure out their future career path, and some want workers to retrain themselves on their own time and dime. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber has been looking into it. Lauren, what's trending?
This is something that every corporate executive seems to be talking about. Policymakers talk about it also, and workers themselves are talking about it and thinking about it. The idea is that the workplace is changing rapidly, the skills that are required to stay relevant are changing, and everybody needs to figure out how to make sure that they have a job and some job security, and that's where lifelong learning comes in.
Where and how are some of these folks doing that?
Well, there are a lot of options now, but I think one point that came across in a lot of my reporting with both the people inside of corporations who are in charge of keeping their workforce trained and developed and also workers themselves is that more and more responsibility is on individuals to figure this out. Even companies that have a lot of resources for this and that provide access to learning platforms and classes and things like that, they want workers to take responsibility for figuring out what they want to do in the future and what skills they'll need for that. That's not entirely new, but I would say training inside companies used to be a little bit more top-down, and now companies want to make it more bottom-up, which has both good and bad implications.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Her story is called Employees Pushed to Keep Learning New Skills as Workplace Evolves. All right, so in this scenario then, do you go to your boss and say, what does the company offer, or do you say enroll in some online or evening course and get this done? How does that work?
Well, it works different ways in different places. Some companies offer a fair amount of guidance, so there might be a whole HR department devoted to training and development, or managers might be coached to provide more feedback and guidance to their employees. There are a lot of different ways that can be done. And companies now, because of the explosion of online opportunities for people to learn, there are a lot of companies that are offering all of their employees access to, say, a platform where they can take classes and all kinds of things that they might be interested in. Not just classes, they can read articles, they can watch TED Talks. You know, there's a lot of content that's out there. You know, other places offer less support to their employees. And then, of course, you have a whole workforce of people who are freelancers, independent contractors, who don't have any institutional support for this. And in some ways, they have the hardest job because they have to figure it all out themselves and also, in most cases, pay for it themselves.
One of the platforms, at least, that a couple of folks in your story mentioned that you profiled was LinkedIn Learning.
That's right. It used to be lynda.com, and then LinkedIn bought lynda.com, which was a provider of online classes a few years ago, and now it's called LinkedIn Learning. There are a lot of platforms like that out there. What I found was that what was interesting about talking to individual workers about how they were thinking about this notion of lifelong learning and skill relevance was that, you know, some people are just built for curiosity. You know, they're just curious by nature and very driven to, you know, acquire new information and new knowledge, you know, sometimes in their current field, sometimes in things that are totally unrelated. And other people are, you know, don't have that natural, you know, curiosity. And so one challenge for employers is how to somehow encourage people to be, to take advantage of the resources that are out there and to think about their future in a more proactive way.
Are people finding that when they take on some lifelong learning, it's translating into, say, promotions or raises at work?
Some people are seeing that, you know, and in some cases, it's fairly, you know, A to B process. So if you take this class, you are then qualified for, you know, this promotion or this raise or this position. You know, in a lot of cases, it's not quite that cut and dried. I should also add that the phrase lifelong learning has become kind of a cliche, also kind of a mantra now. But really, people have been learning on the job and learning off the job, you know, forever. It's just that now there's a sense that skills are becoming obsolete more quickly and that there's more pressure on people to think about keeping themselves updated and fresh in new ways.
Thanks, Lauren. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website this morning with GordonDeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. You can send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.